Join me, if you will, in the opening treatment. For those who are new with us, treatment is a affirmative prayer. So treatment also, we'll do it for the sound system. We're having some surprises this week. And it's an affirmative prayer. It's a statement of truth. So I invite you to join me. There's one power, one light, one life. It is present everywhere all the time. It is here within us. It is here around us. It is all there is. Knowing that, I know that each of us is an expression of that one. We are life living itself through us individually. Knowing that, I declare it good and all good, that life is grounded, free, and full for each of us as we listen and look within for the greater answers to our lives. This is the truth. I'm grateful for it. I let this time be wonderful with us. I let it be so, and so it is. So welcome. It is mine to remind you that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. We come together here because we know we are God's opportunity to be something unique and special, and no matter who you are, where you come from, what your orientation in life is, what religious path you walk, you're welcome, you're honored, you're respected. We don't tolerate folks here. We honor and celebrate them no matter who they are. So no tolerations, only the very best of life expressing through us, for us, right. I first met our practitioner of the day at a conference in California where he was in school. I don't know if it was your last year or almost, and heard him play the piano and heard him speaking and heard he was from Atlanta and thought, man, I'd love to be able to work with this guy sometime. And here he is, and here I am. So without anything else, I give you Doug. Thank you. Thank you. Good job.
You need to turn that off. Good morning, and thank you, Bob. Yes, it was really interesting. When I met Bob out in California, I was in my second year of practitioner studies, and I kept hearing about this guy, Bob Dean, Bob Dean, Bob Dean. Oh, he used to be in Atlanta. It's like, how do I not know this guy? We kind of overlapped. I think Bob was here in Atlanta when I had gotten a job that transferred me to Washington, D.C. in 1988. So anyway, here we are. Good morning. I'm glad you guys are here, braving this weather. Obviously, not even Winter Storm Diego can keep you away from this wonderful teaching. So we're delighted that you're here. 10 days from now, on the 21st, we are going to be celebrating the winter solstice, the shortest daylight hours day of the calendar year, based on our Earth's annual journey around the sun, with that day positioning the Earth farthest from the sun and its orbit, thus the shortest amount of daylight in the northern hemisphere. People long ago and throughout time have been celebrating the winter solstice. In fact, it's believed that Stonehenge, the stone monument in England, was constructed in honor of and in celebration of the winter solstice. If we take note of what's going on all around us, we see that the trees are now bare, having lost their leaves. They've gone quiet and still, except when the wind blows through them. Plants and flowers have been zapped by the couple of early freezes that we've already had as the garden grows quiet, bloomless, and still. The northwest wind at night blows through these bare trees, reminding us it's time to light that fireplace and grab something warm to drink. All around us, in nature, this time of year, we are reminded of turning inward, quiet, dormancy, hibernation, an extended period of rest, darkness, peace. We are immersed in a great time of inward reflection and peace ordained all throughout nature. Yet we also live in an age of contrast, which sometimes can even encourage us to ignore nature. If that wasn't so, maybe global warming wouldn't be an issue, right? But we are also knee-deep in the holiday season, where people are waiting hours in the cold darkness of early mornings just to be the first in line to get the first, that big screen TV that's like such a deal. Computers are buzzing with online orders for holiday gifts and bargains. At work, we're finalizing business plans for 2019 while pitching our 2018 accomplishments to management and wrapping up all the final things that need to be done before the 31st. So easy to get caught up in that rush of the season. And it may not be the best thing for us, because sometimes it can also bring upon stress, insomnia, and maybe even hypertension in our bodies and souls if we don't pause, take a deep breath, and go within to get recentered. So this morning, we're going to focus on finding that quiet refuge and peace within you so that you can learn how to escape the holiday madness when desired and follow Mother Nature and God and do what, in fact, we should be doing, which is going within and remaining centered despite everything going on outside of us. Reminds me of that old line from the Bible, that quote that says, "Peace on earth and goodwill towards men," that we so often hear this time of year. And Ernest Holmes said that any thought which tends to inspire, to comfort, and to give peace to the mind is good. So now we're going to come to a section in our service where we join in affirmative prayer. And I'm going to ask you to join me in that. And I'm going to be saying this prayer for you in first person. Accept what resonates with you and just relax. Get comfortable in your seats. Uncross your limbs, your fingers. Be open and receptive. Take a deep breath. And know this with me. There's only one power, one infinite intelligence, one cosmic something that is operating throughout this universe and operating through me and each person present right here, right now, and always. And I and each are always one with this infinite intelligence that is God. I can never be separate from this divine power for good, because it is always shining forth from within me. That still small voice of unlimited wisdom, unlimited potential, expressing perfectly and uniquely as me and each person present. All are one in this beautiful divine spirit. And today and every day, I recognize the quiet, still power of peace that is always within me and always within each person. I claim divine wisdom and love and right action to guide me and each along every step of every day, to allow this peace to fill my heart, to fill my soul, and to go out and fill the world. I claim divine courage to encourage me to let this peace shine forth from my soul, knowing that when I do so, I make the world a peaceful, more loving, more beautiful place for all. I know that I and each are the way that peace on earth happens. In this quiet, in this stillness, I recognize this as my higher truth. And every day, I feel the joy and love and peace for knowing this. My mind and heart are open and receptive to today's lesson, knowing that there is something right here and now that is exactly what I need to know in this time to move me and each person forward into a greater expression of abundant, peaceful living. I claim this with divine wisdom for myself and for everyone present. My heart, my mind, my spirit are overflowing with infinite gratitude and love and joy and expectations for greatness and peace, for all of the infinite blessings that flow to and through me in my life, for the beautiful spirit of peace and well-being that blesses each and every day, each and every person. I am grateful for this teaching, for this center, and for the mindful consciousness that is within me and with every beautiful soul present. I joyfully release my word into the universal law, knowing it is done. I trust, I let go, and I let God. And it is wonderful. And together we say, and so it is.
In 1969, I was newly out of college and with my beautiful, wonderful wife at the time. We were working, we went to work for a Billy Graham program. Didn't advertise it as Billy Graham. It advertised as Youth Development Incorporated in Harlem, New York. We were working in out of Spanish Harlem, and we were taking kids, teens, from the city out to the Catskill Mountains to give them any kind of education they were looking for. I taught math. She taught English skills, and which is kind of interesting for both of us considering where we are now. But we worked with these teens for 2 weeks at a time, and then they would go back to the city. And these were kids from halfway houses for alcohol and drugs. These were teens from group homes where they were trying to break free from gangs and gang structure. These were some pretty tough kids and pretty tough young people who were just wonderful underneath all of that scratchiness on the outside. And one of the concerns we had, because most of us were coming from all over the country, and this program had been going on for many years, still does, it's still there, and under a different name, but it's still there. So we said, well, how in the world, when we get 300 teenagers from inner city New York out here in this beautiful, pristine place, are we going to ever manage all of that? How do we know they're not going to be out running around all the time and causing trouble? In the daytime, they were fine. We did what we needed to do. The trick was, and we learned this our first night, there was a master switch in the main office that stayed locked up where the head of the camp slept. And when he pulled that lever down, every light in sight went out. Absolute darkness. 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds who had never been in the dark before. If you live in inner city New York, it never gets dark. It gets darker, but it never gets dark like it does in the Catskill Mountains, especially if there's no moon and little cloud, and nobody would budge from their bunks. If they were not in their bunks when the switch got pulled, you would hear screaming all over the camp. I have to confess, we had told them some scary stories to help that. But we had never any problems at night whatsoever. We never had problems in that camp ever, for that matter. And but when I think about dark, that's what it reminds me of, is how powerful that was. And in talking with them about it, it was like, we're not afraid of the dark. We're afraid of what's in the dark that we can't see. And I think that's the story of human experience, isn't it? That so often what we are afraid of is not what's hidden in the, it's not in the darkness itself. It's what's hidden in the dark that we can't see. And this time of the year, we went around shining lots of bright lights. Lots of, loved your description. Thank you. You saved me about 10 minutes off of my talk. And because we run around, we do these bright lights, and part of what we're looking for sometimes is a way to avoid the darkness. Let's just stay in the bright light so we don't see in the darkness. We don't turn those lights on so we can see what's going on in the dark and deal with it. We deal it so we can all be happy and joyous. And then we all get together with our families and we keep everything bright and happy and sunshiny. And whether we like it or not, about the 1st of January, the other side starts to show up. That's why so many people get depressed in January and February, because we've done all of this shining of the light at Christmas time, at the holiday time. And yet, in doing that, we reveal, whether we intend to or not, what's hidden in the darkness. See, there really is no such thing as darkness. Now, you couldn't convince those kids I worked with of that. And some days you can't convince me. But there's no such thing as darkness. Imagine trying to turn on a dark bulb that's going to make the lights go away in a room. In a world of oneness where there's one power, one thing, darkness is simply a description of the amount of light that is or isn't present. And darkness to me in a cave seems like there's no light. But to a creature evolved in that cave, there's plenty of light to see and do what they want to do. There's always light present. And darkness simply describes the degree to which it seems to be absent. Same thing is true of cold. Now, when I was shivering in my car this morning until it warmed up, I believed in cold. But the truth is, cold does not exist as a something. It's simply a description of the absence of warmth. That's why in this teaching we say there is no evil as a thing. What we call evil or what we call bad or all of that is simply a description of how much good appears to be missing. What I love most about this time of year, because I like to do inner work. I'm a meditator. I'm a go in and be quiet, listen, journal, all of that kind of stuff. Have been for years. And what I love about this time of year is the whole planet is cooperating with me. Even though a lot of people aren't, but the planet is. And it's a time where this half, the northern hemisphere of this planet, is quietly going into the sleep, into the dark. I love that image of the trees standing naked in the wind. They're not because they're dead, but because their attention has moved from their flowery beauty and down to their roots, what's really here. So it's an invitation from the planet we live on to go within. To go to our roots, to look what is, to be willing to look in the dark and see what's there. Sometimes that's a little scary, sometimes it's not. Sometimes what we find are wonderful jewels that we never expected. See, solstice is one of those experiences that everyone experiences in both hemispheres. We do it at different times. But if you're in the northern hemisphere, this time of year, everyone on the planet in the northern part of the planet is experiencing solstice, whether they like it or not. Unless they're staying indoors with the lights on all the time. But the days get shorter, the nights get longer. There's less energy entering the planet from the sun. There's less being shined upon us. So it seems to be darker. And nature is really smart. When there's less energy being provided, it gets quiet, slows down. We do too, to some extent. And we certainly find that things like meditation and contemplation and inner looking can be more powerful this time of year because we are in sync with Mother Earth and we're in sync with all these energies around us. It's also a great time then to shine a light. So nature shows it to us. Hanukkah, the festival of lights, is a beautiful expression. You know the story? It's the story of the Israelite temple being totally destroyed and marauders came in and stole and took care of and carried out. And when they came back later to clean up the rubble, they found one lamp still burning. The oil in that lamp was enough to keep it burning and keep it burning and keep it burning. It became a festival of lights, a celebration that no matter how dark and how difficult and how hard our lives may become or how much is taken away, there's always a light. There can never be so much darkness that there isn't some light. That's hopeful to me. I've walked through some dark times, as I know everybody in here has at one time or another. The beauty is that when we get into those places, there is a light there somewhere. The title of the talk is Hello Darkness, My Old Friend. And you know there's a song, Sound of Silence, that it comes from. It's actually pretty amazing. It's been a while since I really looked at that, but when I was looking for talk titles, that popped in my head, and I usually trust that and go with it, so I did some digging. And one of the amazing things about the song is it really was written in 1963, and it talks about prophets writing the truth on subway walls. Do we live in that or not? I mean, it's a great prediction of what was coming in our world, and it came for him out of the sound of silence, out of the darkness. One of the ways we experience the infinite most clearly is when we go into that inner, quieter, darker place. Now, it's always present. Holmes is very clear about that. The presence of God is with us always, everywhere, all the time. It is who we are. It is what we are. It is expressing as us. And yet, to have a greater awareness of it, there are two places to look. One is to look around you at your life and see what's working. What's going the way it needs to be? What's bringing greater joy and life and livingness and freedom to you? That's that spirit showing you in a mirror of who you are and what's happening. The other stuff gets shown back too sometimes, which tells us where we have to heal. And then there's the flip side of looking for it, and that is to go within. In the book of... I've forgotten which Bible book it is, but the story of Elijah going up on the mountain and to see God, to meet God. And he says, as a great storm comes by, God's not there. A great pillar of fire goes through, God's not there. And finally, after all this rigmarole and uproar and noise, it calms down and goes quiet. And the King James Version says, and in a still, small voice, onward comes my God. In the still small voice. A better translation of that is in the sound of silence. Sometimes we are aware of that presence within us by simply being quiet. We go past words. We go past thoughts. And we're just there in it. And you feel it. You can't describe it. As soon as you start describing it, it's gone. The sense of it is gone. That's why he didn't write anything about it till later. See, the darkness is the place where we go to look to see not what is hidden and what is being revealed. It's interesting to me that... I'll save that part. So how do you go there? What do you do? Well, for one thing, you sit down and be still and turn off your cell phone and the TV and listen. You can go there by simply listening to the world around you. You can go there in nature by hearing the birds and whatever touches you. There are touchstones in our world that mean something to all of us. And each of us have different ones. There are certain things that when you think about them or see them or touch them, or experience them, they take you right into that quiet place. Especially if you've done some meditating and had some time with that. One of my touchstones is trees. I grew up in a family of timber people, and we cut trees for a living, and we planted trees for a living, and we did all this tree stuff. And one day suddenly it occurred to me, you know, there isn't a sweeter thing to me for being in touch with me and my life and the universe and universal living than to sit down at the base of a tree, lean back on it, close my eyes, and just feel it. The Native Americans have a whole lot of lore about that, and some of which I think is true. If you're having back trouble, back up to a pine tree. A really straight one that knows how to stand up. And let the energy of that pine tree move through you, straighten you out. See, if there's really only one power, and that power is God, then all of it's God. Not just what's in us, but all of it. So anything in nature that we can use or participate in that brings us greater good is our participation in love and light and life. meditation, all kinds of meditation, mind emptying meditation, walking meditation, candle meditation, open eye meditation when you're staring at a sunrise or a sunset or a beautiful scene. All of those are ways to go quiet, go past the thoughts into that deeper place of awareness, that deeper place where there's something more here. Artists do it when they create. They do it because they go into almost like a trance. I say they, I've done a little of that, but nothing I can present to anybody. But, you know, we all can find that place in us. Everyone has something that pops in your mind, maybe a stone, it may be a color. Color purple always takes me there. I see purple, I wear purple a lot for that reason, because it reminds me I'm connected to something much bigger and greater than I am. I'm in it, I'm free in it. See, and the teachings, both the Hanukkah teachings, Christian teachings, teachings from the Buddha, I'll say that it's in that calm quiet that we find light. The light appears, shows up. We find out the light at the end of the tunnel is indeed not a train, but something more, something greater. It's a place where we can affirm. It's a place where we can ask questions. A great practice this time of year, or any time of the year, is to get really quiet and go within and ask yourself the important questions. What really matters to me? I'm running around doing all this stuff because I always have, because it's what I do, it's who I am. But is it really? What do I really want? What makes my heart sing? If I could go back to the 5-year-old me and be what that kid wanted, what would it match or would it be different? And no one knows the answers to those questions but you. Now, I could give you some advice about them if you ask me, because I'm always ready to run somebody else's life. However, you're the only one that really knows. And this time of year, if you're like me, you've got a lot of people ready to run your life for you. That's what families do best sometimes, or worst. Yeah. But families, we won't go there. We've been far enough. You know, where's good for me? What's my real definition of good? We're going to be doing a class on Emma Curtis Hopkins, and one of her famous phrases is, there's good for me and I ought to have it. Just an affirmation, not yelling to anybody but yourself. And then she says, your good is your God. That which you really believe in is good for you is your God. It's what you're giving the power of God to in order for it to come back to you. Great question for this time of year is to get quiet with a journal and ask yourself, what's my good? What do I really believe is good for me? Now, it's also easy to drop from there right into guilt, especially if things pop up and you're good about diet and exercise or meditation, because one of the things that we often do, it's kind of like anytime you talk about meditation, I can always hear it. Somebody will come up to me afterwards today and say, you know, I try to every day, but I just can't do it. Don't guilt yourself about it. Either do it or don't do it. And if you don't do it, okay. Because it's still whatever you need to see that's in the darkness is going to come to you and show itself to you one way or another. So you get to choose how you're going to go look for it, whether you look for it inside or whether it shows up on your doorstep. My years as a psychotherapist, we used to say, you know, anything the therapist is not dealing with themselves and really got taken care of, walks in the door and says hello. Same thing is true for practitioners. We work with consciousness. We work with looking at the truth. You walk in the door to a practitioner, you're bringing them an opportunity to see a greater truth for themselves and for you. And quite often, it's the very truth they need to see at the moment. Because we're all one. We're all mixed up in this together. There's not a us and them. There's not a separation. Hello, darkness, my old friend. Take a moment to go within. That's the rest of that song. No, it's not. You know. So I invite you, as we move towards the 21st, you know, the fact that everybody experiences this solstice physically is why there are so many great holidays this time of year. The oldest holidays that we know of in culture are around the solstice. And part of that was the fear-based thing, because is the sun going to come back? It's getting darker and darker and darker and darker and darker. And they had enough sense to know that if it kept going out, there would be no existence. And then that day came where, by measuring very carefully on stones with notches, they could see that the sun had begun to return. The day got a little longer. The shadows were in a little different place. And then they celebrated it. It's no accident. 4 days after the solstice is when Saturnalia was celebrated in ancient Rome, which later became Christmas. Why many great holidays happen this time of year in many cultures, because the light, we're celebrating that the light is returning. But up until that time, I invite you, take some time to walk into the darkness. Take some time to really be there with yourself. I was at a Christmas concert last night with all the lights and the music, and it was wonderful. It was a great concert. And in announcing the final songs, the conductor said, you know, the surveys have been done. Now, you know how, what that means. Who knows what surveys, where, when, or how. But surveys have been done as to people's favorite Christmas songs. And survey says there are two, O Holy Night and Silent Night. Now, we're celebrating the 200th anniversary of the song Silent Night right now, written by a youth leader for the teen program in a German church 200 years ago. They needed something for the pageant, and he couldn't. They didn't have anything. He sat down with his guitar and wrote it, and we have Silent Night. Thought it was a throwaway song. But it's interesting that those two favorites by many people are about the night, not about the light. But they both contain the same profound truth, that what is holy, what is sacred, what is perfect about the darkness, about the night, is that in the midst of that, a light is born. A light appears. If you're not sure what you're doing next, if you're not sure what the light needs to be, take the time to go into the darkness and be with it if it's yours, until the light shines. Ernest Holmes said, it is our responsibility as religious scientists to look at any discordant fact straight on and carefully until we know better. We don't do it by avoiding it. We do it by looking at it and going into it. He said, don't be afraid to call a problem a problem. Don't be afraid to call a challenge. Don't be afraid to call an issue. Just look at it until you see the light, until you see the truth, until you see it isn't the reality for you. A huge start on that is recognizing that darkness really doesn't exist at all. It is simply a measure of the amount of light. This is the truth. We deserve to live in that. I let it be, and so it is. Thank you. So we are going to move into a brief moment or two of letting you... I talked to longer than I planned to, or we'd have more time. Sorry. So we're going to do a little brief bit of meditation here and go into the dark and see what's there. See what light may show up, what good idea, what better knowing. So I know there's one power. That power lives within me always, whether I see it or not, whether I feel it or not, whether I'm thinking of it or not. And it is a power of wisdom and truth. It is that within me which knows the answers to every question I have. There is that within me which can reveal to me my what I'm really about and what my next steps are. So I go into the silence, into the quiet, into the dark, the dark behind my eyelids, with one question. And I hear the answer, or I see the answer, or I feel the answer. And I now declare that the ideas that popped into my mind in answer to my question are the best answer for me right now. They come from the deeper truth within me. The light is revealed. The child is born within me. The child of light. The child of truth. The child of freedom. This is my truth. I'm willing to accept it. In gratitude and ease, I let this be. And so it is. Thank you all. I'm pleased and thrilled that we got a chance to go into that space together. Thank you for being here today, for coming out in the less than warm weather. We do have a couple of some announcements. We have to take up the collection first, don't we? We get to take up the collection. We don't have to. This is your opportunity to give back. This is your opportunity to say, yes, thank you. I love this place, and I support it in every possible way, along with all the other things coming across my table here at the end of the year that are asking for my money. I'm thinking about what's most important and putting my money there. So I invite you, if this is important to you, contribute accordingly. Thank you so much for those who already have electronically and online and all those other ways. And thank you to all of you if you're contributing a thought, an idea, or $1 million. We'll take it all because it's all good. Thank you. God bless you.